restored his mind. He restored him. Everything that was wrong with that man, all the cuts and sores and bruises, God restored that man. And he made him whole. And he put him in his right man. He put right mind. He put some clothes on him, and he put him in his right mind. Don't you know, if he restored that man's mind, he can restore your mind and others' mind. You know, there are other people. They have Alzheimer's. They have dementia. They have memory loss. Brain disorders that cause them not to be able to think properly. You know, people that hear his voices, all those conditions, Jesus attributed them to demons and devil spirits. This is what Jesus said they are. These are demons and devil spirits. And saints of God, he has given us power over all these demons and devil spirits in the name of Jesus. So we'll pick back on this when we come back again. We'll continue with this lesson, and may God bless you. Amen and amen.
This is what we like to call you, Jesus,
Jesus.
That's what we call you, yeah. Born in a manger,
but
on a tree,
died to save man. The tea.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, and I want to lift up verse 32. Romans 8 and 32. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Well, begin reading now.
Jesus spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? My brothers and sisters, Paul makes so very clear this word to the believers and for us to understand several things. And as he is speaking even in the text, he's really making clear our salvation and the fact that God is so faithful in that he didn't give us anything or something. He gave us his best when he gave us his son. And the God who sits up high and looks down low, who knew all of us, when we did not know ourselves, and yet in spite of our unworthiness, while we were yet sinners, Christ, his son, died for us. Now, what's interesting about this book is, when you go back to Romans, several of the beginning books of Romans, all talk about the no goodness of man, how he's not right, how he's not righteous, how he is given to all of the things that are unlike God and are unrighteous and unholy. Why would a God want to be bothered with somebody like us? First chapter tells us he turned them over to a reprobate mind. You keep on reading in the third chapter, he goes on and says, for the wages of sin, he says, all have sinned. Third chapter, 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then you keep on reading, and then in the sixth chapter he says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And it seems here around the sixth chapter, you start seeing a little light. In the seventh chapter, Paul begins to talk about the realities of the fight that goes on the inside of man. How sin is always ever present, always trying to do us in. There is a conflict on the inside of us, the good versus the bad, the righteous versus the unrighteous, how there is a will to do the right thing, but how to find it, you just don't seem to make a way. And the things you know you shouldn't do, you always wind up losing the fight to. And he says, oh, wretched man, that and who shall deliver me from the burden of this death, the body of this death? And then in the eighth chapter, it appears as in the blackness of the bosom of the earth comes the bright sun rays of hope. There is now no condemnation to them that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see a changing now. And Paul is helping us to understand that there are some things now that are coming our way that makes it now different, so that we are able to see God had a plan all along for us. He goes on, and I can get to all of those verses, but let me get to one of our favorite verses, Romans 8:28. Because when he gets there, he says what many of us quote all the time, and we know. The word know, of course, genosko. But here is the thing. They don't understand that this know is filled with intimacy and closeness with God that gives us the advantage of walking close with him and hearing things he whispers in our ears that others around us don't hear. You can be in the midst of folk, and if you're close to someone and you want to whisper something to them, you know how to get in their ear. Somebody can be sitting right next to you and don't hear. And that's what the Spirit of God will do many times to those who are walking close with Christ. He'll give us revelation, and he'll give us illumination and understanding. And everybody else sitting there with long faces and upside down frowns, and they're wondering what we're smiling about. But God has just let us in on a secret. God has just informed us that no matter what it looks like, everything is going to be all right. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. But notice here, in the next verse, God shows us, and in the 30th verse, God shows us five different words. Listen at this, pay attention to it. Five different words that prove to us that our salvation is sure, that we are saved. If we are saved, we are saved, and that means that God knows that our salvation is sure. Listen, there are some saints who say they're saved. There are some saints who think they're saved. There are some saints who pray that they are saved. There are some saints who hope that they're saved. But ain't nothing like a saint that know that they know that they know that they know that they know they're saved. See, what you got to see is verse 29. Read verse 29, if you will. When you find it, I hope you hadn't closed your Bibles, turned off your devices. I want you to stick with me here. Verse 29, begin reading now. Hold up. For whom he did what?
Foreknow.
Go ahead.
He also did
predestinate. What did he predestinate them to do? Keep reading.
To be conformed to the image of his son.
Two of the five words I want you to pay attention to, because here is where you can be so sure that you know that you're saved, that the devil can't mess with you with this issue ever again. Now, mind you, I said, if you're saved, if you have given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe he's the Son of God, that he came down, that he lived, died, and rose again and ascended back to the Father and is making intercession on your behalf. If you believe all of this and you've accepted him to come into your heart, you are saved. Doesn't matter what you feel. It's based on the assurance of God's word. Now the first word in verse 29 says what that I told you, pay attention to. Those he foreknew. Those he foreknew. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that God picked and chose those who would be saved and those who would not be saved? No, that's not what that means. It means that God knew who would accept his son, who would accept salvation, who would desire to be saved and give their hearts and their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ as God prescribed for their salvation. So because God is omniscient, he knew everything before the world ever began. He knew everything that would happen. So he foreknew. He foreknew every person who would accept Jesus, past, present,
and future. All he does is, through the essence of time, allow them to walk into what he already knew.
All right.
Listen to me well. Those who he foreknew, the next word says, he predestined.
Yeah.
He predestinated. What does that mean? That he put them aside and did a work on them so that they might become like the image of his son. In other words, once he saved them, because of their acceptance of his son, Jesus Christ, the Savior he sent to this world to save us, he then began working on us so we would become more like his son, that we would become conformed to his son. In other words, our walk and our talk and our lifestyle and all that we do would look more and more like Jesus. But there's another word. Go to verse 30, if you will. What does it say? Moreover. He's not through yet. Keep going. Hold up right there. Now, those whom he did predestinate, he also called. Called. Remember, Romans 8:28 just got to say it. And we know. And we know. What do we know? That all things work together for who? For good to them who are called according to his purpose. My brother, my sister, when you accepted Christ, Jesus became saved, he began to turn you, twist you, make you into what looks like Jesus, sounds like Jesus, walks like Jesus, talk like Jesus, live like Jesus, act like Jesus. Why? Because he now has called you to a purpose. A purpose. If you're saved, I don't care who you are, God has saved you for a purpose. You may not know your purpose right now, but he has saved you for a purpose. Your ministry may not look like anybody else's ministry, but he has saved you for a purpose. Whether your ministry is great or your ministry is small, every ministry is important to God. And he has equipped each and every one of us to do the ministry he has called us to. That's why you ought not be looking at other folk ministry, but rather look at your own ministry. Because when you look at other folk ministry, your ministry might be minuscule. And you'll be like, well, my ministry ain't about nothing here. Nobody pays attention to my ministry. But I got news for you. The little things matter. You don't know how many big things would go undone if little things weren't in place. Have I got a witness this morning? And some of the little things that God has called some of us to do is there to prepare the way for other ministries that come after us. If you don't do one, you can't do two. If you don't do 10, you can't do 20. In other words, you have to go through step by step to get from wherever you are to wherever you want to be. And it starts with a step. So if it's just one step, That step is so important because it sets off a series of other things that will happen because you made your step. So now you're called. But if you're called, here's what he wants you to know. What does the next word say? I love this one. You are justified. Justified. Justified means just as if you didn't do it. See, that's if that was no other reason to be saved, that's a good one right there. It's not saying you didn't do it. But when he justifies you, it's as if you didn't do it. Listen, when Satan in the 12th chapter of Revelation came to accuse the brethren, he wasn't lying. Don't sit there and act all holier than thou, like the devil's always lying on me. No, you did some of the stuff the Lord knew about. And he told the Lord about that you did. You won't act like you done forgot, but the Lord saw it and the devil saw it. He said, ooh, I'm gonna tell. You supposed to be this and you supposed to be that and you supposed to be saved. But John tells us, listen, if we say we have no sin, if we say we have no sin, somebody's lying. And it ain't God. That's why I used to love the old song that Koji used to say, I know the Bible is right. Somebody's wrong. Y'all don't remember that song? I know the Bible is right. Somebody's wrong. I know the Bible is right. Somebody's wrong. I know the Bible is right. I know the Bible is right. Well, I told you once, I told you twice. Can't make the heaven with a sweetheart and a wife. I know the Bible is right. Oh, don't get quiet. Bible is right. I know the Bible is right. Well, I told you time again and again. Can't make the heaven while sipping gin. Somebody's wrong. I know the Bible. Somebody, I know the Bible is right.
Oh, somebody's wrong.
Bible is right.
Oh, somebody's wrong.
Matthew 1 and 21. Angel told Mary she would bring forth a son. I know the Bible is right.
Oh, somebody's wrong.
I know the Bible is right.
Oh, somebody's wrong.
I know the Bible is right.
Somebody's wrong.
Bible is right.
Oh, somebody's wrong.
The Bible is right. Somebody is wrong. And when Satan accuses us, he's not always lying on us. But because of the precious blood of Jesus that covers us, God doesn't see the sin, but the blood that justifies us. And remember again in the Old Testament, the angel who came and passed over the house that had the blood on the lintel in the doorpost, He passed over every house that had the blood on the doorpost and lintel when they followed the directions of God, because it meant that God would pass over their sins. Now here is the point. When the angel saw the blood, he did not go in the house. But where he did not see the blood, he went in the house. And the firstborn of everything died. You see, justifying us means that God has covered us with the precious blood of his son, and he don't look under the blood. Matter of fact, one writer say he takes your sins and throw it behind his back. Another writer says he put it in a bag and sew it up and cast it in the sea of forgetfulness. Another writer say he takes our sins and he remembers them no more. Why? Because he is not trying to bring back on you what he's taken from you. And so because of Jesus, we are justified. We're not perfect. We're not righteous in ourselves. Isaiah declared, we're in excess for self-righteousness. We're as filthy rags. And so therefore, we must recognize that that justification comes because of Jesus. And if he justified us, guess what else he's done? It's past tense. He's already done it. He's glorified us. So listen, I want to tell you this. You may not know it. I need you to help me preach this right quick. Look at your neighbor if you can stand it. And if you can't, close your eyes. And say, neighbor, I don't care what you're going through. And I don't care what's going through you. There shall be glory after this. You don't have to wait to shout. You don't have to wait to shout. Whatever you're going through, you coming out with your hands and your head lifted up. Glory, glory, glory. Yeah, glory.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
Shreveport Greenwood, 92.5.
Sometimes people smile, and sometimes when we see people smiling, we assume that they got it all together. Sometimes when people see you smiling, they say, look like nothing bothers you. But let me tell you something, baby. Sometimes when people smile, they catch in hell.